one of my favorites. Exodus 30. Exodus 30. Since all you girls are here, you reckon I get you to sing today? Not a lot of girls anymore, but that's all the way I know how to dress you. grandmas. Oh, my. Still the girls. Still the girls. Boring sisters. Oh, boy, what a blessing they've been for, well, as long as I can about remember. As long as I can about remember. Oh, love them so much. Let's start reading here in verse 11, read down through verse 16. This is going to be where my message is from today. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there shall be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they shall give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Our Father, oh, Abba Father, holy, righteous, infinite, eternal, glorious in being, mighty in power. Lord, we are so thankful in our hearts that you know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. And what we know of ourselves is bad enough. But what you know of us, you knew of us before the world ever began. You chose us. You chose to love us. You chose to redeem us. You chose to call us. You chose to save us. And you chose us to spend eternity with you and enjoy your blessed presence forever and ever. Oh, what thanksgiving. What peace, what comfort, what assurance we have in your blessed gospel. And Lord, all because you willed to do it, it pleased you to do it. And Lord, I ask that it please you today to be with us as we preach and as the saints here, as we've gathered out to worship the true and living God. And if it would please you also, Lord, to send the gospel, send conviction, send trouble, send burden, to send the weight of sin upon the unconverted, especially upon those that we love, our children, our grandchildren. Lord, they'll never know, never have an interest unless you go after them. They'll never come after you. You have to go after them. And I ask if you'd please you that you'd do that. Bring glory to yourself today in this service. Honor your blessed Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. With me here in Exodus 30. Let me read these verses to you again, and the reason being to make my introduction. The Lord spake unto Moses. God speaking now. And he's talking to Moses. Very few people God spoke to in his scriptures. And he spoke, he called Abraham his friend, and he spoke with Moses as with a friend. And when thou takest the sum of the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom of his for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passes among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. And every one that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering to the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Atonement money, redemption money. To talk about money and redemption money and atonement in the same breath seems like a contradiction, seems like it's an anomaly to talk about money and redemption. Especially when the scripture says we were not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb slain without spot and without blemish. And know you not that you're bought with the price, with the precious blood of Christ. But here it is. I read it to you. It's in black and white. It's the Lord telling Moses what to do. It's there. It's called atonement money. Atonement money, make an atonement for your souls. God told Moses to number the children of Israel. That's why this is. There's a book called Numbers right after Leviticus, and that's what it's about. It's about numbering the children of Israel. For everybody that's 20 years old and upward to 50, they numbered them. They took a poll out of every tribe. And every one of those that was numbered, every one of them that passed under the rod, every one of them, there was 600 and something thousand of them. They counted that for their army. And they, every one that was over 20 years old, must pay a half a shekel as redemption money. And when they brought that redemption money, there's four things that they understood by this bringing their redemption money. And bringing their atonement money, they confessed three things. First of all, they confessed that they deserve to die. You don't need an atonement. You don't need redemption if you're not in need. If you're not in need. And I tell you, the second thing that it tells us this is that they understood that they was in debt to God. That they owed God a debt. And in bringing their half shekel, their third thing is they confessed that they were in need of redemption. We need redeeming. We need atonement. We need atonement. And the atonement money was typical of that great redemption price that would be paid for the souls of sinners by he that should come. It's a picture of that. It's typical of that. Of that great atonement that our Lord Jesus Christ would make when he came to take our place on the cross. And we're also taught the fourth thing is this, that God's people are a redeemed people. Psalm 107 verse 2 says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, them whom the Lord has redeemed. And I also know this, that if men reject the redemption that God ordained, this is something God ordained, this is something God taught, this is something God spoke to do. If men reject the redemption that God ordains, then that's evidence, proof that they're not his people. Proof that they're not his people. And I know that the true believer God's people, those who have been numbered, who can be numbered, have been redeemed from sin by the blood of the Lamb. I know that. I know that those whom God has numbered, there's a number that he says is a number that no man can count, a number that's without, he said, a number that's without numberless. You can't count the number. He said, out of the redeemed, those that are around the throne, a multitude that no man can number. But God has them all numbered. He knows every one of them where he is. And I know that those that God has numbered and counted among his people have been redeemed from their sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And also know this about the believers, those that God has numbered, whether they know it yet or not. See, there was a time these folks hadn't been numbered. When God said number them, then he says then they're going to be redeemed. But also know that those who have personally been numbered have received the ransom that the Lord provides, knowing that God only accepts what he himself provides. He only accepts what he provides. And if he don't provide what we need, then he won't accept us. Everything that he requires of us, he gave us. So everything he gives us, that's the only thing that he'll accept. If he don't give us the blood, then he won't accept us. If he don't call us, he won't accept us. If we ain't been redeemed, he won't accept us. If we don't believe his truth, he won't accept us. And I know that those, beloved, who the Lord ransomed, the Lord provides that ransom, and he only accepts what he provides. When they take instead of taking redemption money in their hands, they bring the Lord Jesus Christ. They bring the Lord Jesus Christ to be theirs. And they say, Lord, here's my only hope. Here's my only plea. Here's my only acceptance before you as your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my only acceptance before you. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply to the Lord Jesus Christ I claim. And the only ones numbered, now listen to this, the only ones numbered were the redeemed. The only ones numbered were the redeemed. Men count heads, but God looks on the heart of those who have received his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me give you a few things about this redemption money, and show it as a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and our salvation by him. First, this redemption was personal and for every individual. What does it say in verse 12? He says in the middle of the verse, shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. Every man shall give a ransom for his soul. Every single pope, every man. He didn't say not a nation. He didn't say every family, but every man. Every man. I tell you, personal individual, his position had nothing to do with it. His birth had nothing to do with it. His wealth had nothing to do with it. All was alike before God. Every man has to offer to the Lord for his soul. You keep Exodus 30 and look in Psalm 49. Every man, it doesn't, their position, their power, their wealth. There were princes in Israel, but even those princes that were numbered, they had to do this too. Everyone, even the priest's son, all of them is over from 20 to 50. Psalm 49, look over here with me for a moment. It's in verse 6, Psalm 49, 6. Oh, the position, birth, wealth, everybody's alike before God. Look what he says here. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. And boy, there's lots of folks who do that. Trust in their wealth. Boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. Why can't he? For the redemption of their soul is precious. And once this redemption is accomplished, this redemption is done, it ceases forever. It don't have to be done again. That's what he says, for the redemption of their soul is precious. If a man could pay God, and I tell you what, he would do it. But here's the thing. He says that every man, and it's a personal redemption, every man has to give the Lord a ransom for his soul. And it's personal. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live it by who? The faith of the Son of God. Listen to it. Who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's individual. It's personal. And everybody's got to face this for themselves. It's a personal redemption. I'd love for God to save my children, but they got to, if Christ has paid for them, believe me, they will someday. And if he hasn't, they won't. That's just the way it is. I can say like Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. Where was I crucified at? When he died. My salvation and the salvation of these people that we're talking about, that our redemption, our salvation, and the payment for our sins was made 2,000 years ago. It wasn't made. My redemption didn't become possible for me and good for me, and I wasn't redeemed when I believed. I was redeemed, that's why I did believe. I was redeemed from the foundation of the world. I was numbered from the foundation of the world. Was you? Oh, listen, that's not a general or universal redemption. That don't give anybody any comfort. This idea, and it's an awful idea, it's an awful message that people are preaching. A horrible message. That God loves everybody. If God really loved everybody, there'd be not one soul that would perish. And if Christ died for every man, there'd be not one person that would ever face the judgment, because Christ either died for them or he died in vain. If anybody's in hell that whom Christ died for, then Christ's death is in vain. Is that not right? And if God loves you, there never was a time he didn't love you, and there'll never be a time he'll cease to love you. It's the most wonderful thing. Shirley is talking about today. She says she is thinking this morning about how infinite God is. That he knows me, sees me, and understands there. He knows me better than I know. He knows me. He knows what I think. He knows what I feel. He knows what I experience. He knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And I tell you this, when a man learns that by God, the first thing he'll do, he'll turn to God. When he realizes that God knows him intimately and knows his thoughts and intents of his heart, you know what that soul will do? He'll call on God that quick. And I tell you, and let me tell you something else about this redemption. Back over here in Exodus 30. The ransom price was fixed by God himself. Look what it says in verse 13. This they shall give everyone that passes numbered among them half a shekel. This is what it says. After the shekel of the sanctuary. God himself fix the price. You know what a shekel? A shekel, I looked this up. In today's money, it's 32 cents. A shekel is worth 32 cents. They measured their money back then by weight. And a half a shekel would be 16 cents. 16 cents. If you're talking about shekel, but it's the shekel after the sanctuary. God himself fixed the price of the salvation of a sinner. No more, no less. Man doesn't decide or fix the price of what he's going to give for his salvation. He doesn't fix the price of what he's going to do for his salvation. He doesn't fix his free will can't will to have it. He's not waiting for his chance. He can't come and say, well, I'm going to offer my prayers. My prayers got to count for something. My works got to count for something. My sincerity's got to count for something. My good living's got to count for something. My being good to somebody's got to count for something. God says that I fixed the price, nothing more, nothing less. I made the price, and you're going to go by my price, or you ain't getting it. Huh? I'll tell you somebody that offered the price that he thought was right. Two men went up to worship the Lord. Two men, Cain and Abel. Abel, he brought a lamb. And he shed the blood of that lamb. And he offered that lamb unto God, speaking of the Lamb of God that would come. And he, as his offering was a blood sacrifice, his offering was the innocent dying for the guilty. Abel said, I am a sinner. I'm without hope. I'm without God and I'm without Christ. And God showed me that if I come to him, I've got to come with blood. Somebody else has got to die in my stead or I'm going to have to die. Well, he had a brother. And this brother was older than him. And you know what? He understood this. He knew the same God. He said he knew the same God. Going to worship the same God. Do you know what he brought to worship with? You know what he brought as an offering? He brought some corn. He brought some beans. He brought some tomatoes. He brought of the fruit of the ground and the sweat of his own labor. And he brought what he himself had worked out and provided for himself. And he brought the works of his hands before God. And you know what God said? I ain't going to have it. And it made Cain so angry with God, since he couldn't get to God because God fixed the price, that he himself says, I'm so mad at God, I can't get to God, so I tell you, I'll get to the next best thing. I'll get to my brother, and I'll kill him. And that's what he did. And Cain offered a more excellent sacrifice, and God himself testified of it. I mean, Abel offered, not Cain. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Thank you, Gary. I didn't even know I'd said it till you shook your head. Oh, you're right. Yeah. And God said, I found a ransom. I found a ransom. When Job was being taken down into the pit, God says, bring him up out of the pit. How's come? I found a ransom. Deliver him from going down to the pit. And where did he find that ransom? Did he find it in Job? Did he find it in his goodness? Did he find it in his work? No, God found the ransom in his own blessed Son. Look in Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Look here at this. Matthew 20, 28. You know, God found the ransom in his own blessed Son. The scripture says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to make his soul an offering for sin. And he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Look here in verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And listen to this, and to give his life a ransom. For who? For many. Who is the many?
the number 10.
And I tell you what, the price, God fixed the price before the foundation of the world. That's why Christ stood as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now back over again here in verse 13 of Exodus 30. And this redemption, this atonement, is the only one that met God's holy demands. And he says a half a shekel, in verse 13, a half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. Now what does that mean, after the sanctuary? It must be according to God had laid up in the tabernacle. A shekel according to his weight, according to his standard. Not the standard of the world, not the standard of commerce. It had to be the same weight, it had to be the same type, had to be everything, you see, it had to be. It must be according to the put up in the holy place according to God's standard. Not the shekel of commerce, you know, that's wore out, wore down, not tarnished. It had to be after the shekel of the sanctuary. And our atonement must meet the requirements of God, the requirements of his holiness. We got to have atonement to meet God's holiness. God dwells in holiness, you know. He dwells in the beauty of holiness. We must have an atonement that meets the requirements of his holy law. And when we talk about the law, we're talking about the moral law. We're not talking about all the things that God told Israel to do. We're talking about love God and love your neighbors yourself. And where can we find this perfect way? Where can we find this standard according to God's standard? Where can we find someone that God put in the balances and found him weighing perfect? Where's that person at? Only in our Lord Jesus Christ. Only in his blood. Only in his righteousness. That's what we can and must bring. He's the one that met God's holiness. He's the one who kept God's holy law. He's the one who was put in the balances and weighed. He's the one whose only righteousness that we can have and we can come to God with. And I tell you, his ransom was perfect. Our Lord Jesus Christ's ransom was perfect. He paid the full price. He paid what God's holiness, what God's justice, and broken law demanded. And I am certainly, certainly thankful for that. There's people who honestly think they are holy. I was talking to a man yesterday, and he talked about he certainly was grateful for the grace of God. And he goes to a Methodist church, and me, him, and I was talking. We've talked a couple of times, and he said, I'm thankful for God's grace, he said, because I'm such a sinner. That's what he said. And I said, yeah, I am too. Because I tell you, think you're going to get better as you get older and you come find out you get worse. Huh? God says, be ye holy as I am holy. Some people take that to understand that they have to live some kind of a life. Dress a certain way. Act a certain way. Go certain places and not go to certain places. But where are we going to get a holiness at that makes us equal to God's holiness? Where are we going to get that at? And you know, holiness is a state of being. Was God any more holy at one time than he is another? Was our Lord Jesus Christ any more holy than he was at another? And if God says, be ye holy as I am holy, where are we going to get this holiness at? Huh? He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified by him. And God made Christ unto us righteousness, sanctification. That's what holiness is. He's our sanctification. Our holiness is in Christ. That's where our holiness is at. And what about God's justice? Oh, my. Everybody talks about God's a just God, and he is. He really is. And he dealt with us in justice. He dealt with us in justice. Where did he deal with us in justice at? Where did he deal with us in justice and punish us for our sins? Punish us for our foolishness and our iniquities and our transgressions and our trespasses and our hatred and our enmity and our loathsomeness and all the corruption, all the things that's wrong. Who satisfied justice for us? The Lord Jesus Christ did. Where was God's justice satisfied? Arise, O sword, and smite my shepherd. He saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And that broken law. That's why I don't want the Ten Commandments. Everybody's upset because they take the Ten Commandments here and take them down there and they don't like them here and they don't like them there. Listen, you go to Exodus 20 and you read the Ten Commandments. And if you found yourself keeping any one of them, you're lost as a white goose in a snowstorm. If you could face God's law, and the first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Paul says that covetousness is idolatry. Covet fame, covet recognition, covet honor, covet to be recognized, covet to a greater position, covet money, covet anything. And Paul said, that's idolatry. And the next one is, don't make no image. Don't make no image. And how many people runs around with an image of Jesus on the back of their car with crowns of thorns around his head? And God said, don't you make no image of me. And then the first four commandments has to do with just him. The next six has to do with how we treat one another. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To who? Them that believe. And let me ask you this. If he didn't fulfill every law, if there's not a law he didn't fulfill and didn't come the end of it, what would it be? What would it be? And all that he is and all that law that he fulfilled, he magnified it and made it honorable. And I tell you what, he's the end of the law for righteousness. If you're going to be saved by law, you got to keep it, all of it, the whole Ten Commandments. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ did. He magnified it, made it honorable. And when we believe him and come to him, that righteousness that the law was fulfilled becomes ours as if we ourselves had kept it ourselves. Now, ain't that right? Huh? Oh, he was weighed in the balance of God's sanctuary. And I tell you, it's a perfect weight. And I tell you what, they tried him. He was tried. Isaiah 28:16 says he was the tried stone, precious cornerstone. He was tried in every way, like that half a shekel. He was laid up in the sanctuary and he was accepted. He's weighed by the law. He was made a curse. He put the curse away from him. Tried by man. They said, we find no fault in this man. He said, which of you convinces me of sin? Tried by Satan. In every single way. And he had no part in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tried by his Father. Gave him a work to do. And he said, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Now, give me the glory I had with you before the world was. And he's tried by death. As a corn of wheat falls into the ground and abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And our Lord Jesus Christ brought much forth fruit. He came up to the standard set in the sanctuary. And let me show you something else about this. Here in verse 15 of Exodus 30. The ransom was alike for every single one of them. Look what he says. The rich shall not give more and the poor shall not give less when they make an offering to the Lord atonement for the soul. The rich shall not give more and the poor shall not give less. And that means every man requires redemption. It's the same for all. It's the same for every soul. If you as a king, whether you as a prince, or you as poor as a church mouse, you had to pay the same. Whether you as a philosopher or you as a peasant, whether you as the preacher or whether you as a prostitute out on the street, all men, no matter of their position, no matter of how high they were or how low down they were, whether they were rich, whether they were poor, whether they're educated or uneducated, it absolutely made no difference. The rich could not give any more, and the poor didn't have to give any less. And you know this, the greatest offense of the gospel? This offends people in the gospel more than anything else. You ladies and you men, you may not be a drunk, may never have been one. They not been a drug addict, and they never been one. There's a lot of things you ain't done, and there's a lot of people you look down on, but I'll tell you this, that if you are redeemed, it takes the same price to save the fella who's sitting on the throne as it does the fella who's living a little old bitty shack. It takes the same redemption to save the best mother that the children thinks the best mother that ever lived, and a prostitute out here on the street. And God sees them all exactly alike. One may be worse in the eyes of men than the other. But here's the thing about men being alike in the sight of God. Every man's depraved. Depravity means that man's got a fallen nature. Now, everybody's not as bad as everybody else can be. But everybody in the sight of God is as bad off as they can be. You have a child, drug addict. Get up every day, all they think about is what I can get. They get up in the morning, where am I going to get my dope at for today? And you got another one over here, you got another child. Works hard. Makes an exceptionally good living. Moral. Loved, liked, admired. Loves his family, provides for his family. Both out of the same family. Both of them lost. Is it going to take any more to save this one than it is this one? We make a difference. God don't. We look down on people. God says they're all in the same shape. And that's what's so blessing about the gospel. That's what's so wonderful about the gospel. You can't turn your hand for the difference in any member of the human race because you ain't done it. The only reason you didn't is God kept you. The only reason you and I are not a Muslim killing people is God made the difference. The only reason we're not in some church this morning with some priest giving us this hocus pocus and throwing water in our face is because God made the difference. And that's the offense of the gospel. You mean to tell me that God's going to regard me no different than he regards anybody else on the face of this earth? That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. And I love it like that. You know what? That gives hope Not only for me, but everybody that I love and care for and I pray for. Oh, that gives me hope for them. If God could save me, who couldn't he save? Oh, listen. It was alike for all. And that's the offense of the gospel. It puts everybody exactly in the same place. Don't it? Huh? And let me show you this. The ransom was the only ground of acceptance. The only ground of acceptance. Said, this is what they'll give to the Lord to make an atonement for his souls. Here all men are on common ground. God's no respecter of persons. No merit, no wealth, or poverty. Nothing is accepted except the half a shekel. And you know what God said? To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, which were born. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of men, but of God. But of God. And I tell you what, where there's only one salvation, one redemption that God will accept. And the Lord Jesus is our Redeemer, the only ground of our acceptance. Let me give you this over here just in a minute. Let me show you in Romans 5. Look in Romans 5. Let me show you this, and I'll be done here just in a minute. Look what it says in Romans 5:8. There's only one ground of acceptance. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since he died for us, much more then, being now justified by his blood, right now justified, cleared of all guilt before his blood, accepted of God, justified, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God's wrath will not fall on us because it fell on him. We're saved from, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, enemies of God, enemies of grace, enemies of righteousness. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. If that's how God took the death of his Son and brought us together and made us as one, much more, oh, see how much he does this, much more, being reconciled, we'll be saved by his living. By his life shall be saved because he lives. And not only so, not only just that, but we also joy in God, boast in God, glory in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, listen to it, by whom we have now received the atonement. Oh, and it was accepted by the Father. Accepted by the Father. Let me show you over in Exodus 38, and I'll be done. Look in Exodus 38 with me just a moment. The redemption money went for the foundation of the tabernacle. Verse 38 and verse 25. This redemption money that they took was the foundation of the tabernacle. Said in verse 25, and the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, and 1,703.15 shekels, 1,075 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. A bekah for every man, that is half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. They went to be numbered, 300 of the 550 men of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary, the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of the talents, a socket, a talent for a socket. And the tabernacle, they had these boards, and they took that silver, And they melted it down, and they made these things like this here. And they would, those sockets, and they would have about that deep. And they set them down inside those silver sockets. They set those boards inside those silver sockets. And so that tabernacle is what they used that silver for. And the tabernacle literally stood on the price of souls, redemption. And the church, the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, is built on a sure foundation, the price of blood, our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? We're built upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And there was one exception, and I won't look at it, but one exception. Right when you went into before you went into the sanctuary where the brazen altar was and where the laver was, those pillars right there, they were established on brass. They took brass to make those in the front. Two big pillars. And you walk in there. And then that on those, they were built on brass. You know why? The same reason the blood was applied to the lintel and the threshold. You don't walk across the blood. You don't walk across the blood. And that's why the entrance into the tabernacle, they was built on brass. Built on brass. Our blessed Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your great mercies. Thank you for pitying us, having mercy upon us. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the truth as it is in Christ. God bless the word to the hearts and minds of those gathered here today, as it pleases you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.